What's up, guys?
What's up, guys?
Welcome to the Mac Effect.
Welcome to the Mac Effect.
Today we have a special guest. It's going to be a great interview. And you're going to love who we talk to.
You guys are going to love who we talk to.
That's right. Who is it going to be?
My mom.
Your mom. Let's go.
Well, welcome, sister, to the Mac Effect.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate that you allowed Abby to help me with the intro today.
She's been so excited counting down to come be part of the Mac Effect. So thank you again for having me. I'm very excited. I want to start off by saying I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
I know that fear was part of the factor that held you back, but here we are full circle.
Yeah.
And there's more to come.
Yeah. So, it's crazy because you are one of the few people as well that I have to thank and appreciate, because you guys are constantly pushing me, supporting me. You're constantly reposting and sharing, so I appreciate all that.
It's my way of always just saying I'm here, I'm going to have your back, I'm going to do what I can from my end to support.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And the whole point of this conversation is there's no right or wrong. It's really more of we're just going to have a conversation. We're going to let it flow and just see where God takes it.
Definitely. And my goal and my intention and even agreeing is so that it can bless someone, so that someone can understand that we're human beings, that we all go through, you know, challenges, issues, circumstances. Yeah. And that's my intention of agreeing to this. Because, of course, this is not like my world. Yeah. I'm not used to these things.
Yeah.
But definitely, you know, may my story maybe be relatable to someone.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny you say that, because to be honest with you, this is still something that I'm new in. Like, people really think like I'm just used to this already. And the truth is I'm not. I'm learning how to deal with the negative comments. It's something that I actually prayed with God today. And I was like, man, God, help me deal with negative comments, because I can easily see how people get sucked into that world where they're like, just all the positive, but they focus on the 2, 3, 4 negative comments, and it just drains you. So I'm learning all this too. So trust me, it's not like that. But the reason why I wanted to bring you in is because I want people to see the dynamic that we have when it comes to brother and sister, for them to know that, you know, we're not perfect. We get on each other's nerves at times. There was a particular episode in season one where I got a call from my sister, and she was like, what are you talking about? Did I stress you out? Like, what happened in that episode? And I said, all right, like, it's good. But I personally loved your approach, to be honest with you. I appreciate the fact that you were like, if there's something that's going on, I'm going to call, I'm going to confront it, and we're going to talk about it. So,
definitely. And so again, like, I'm here supporting you. So I watch your episodes.
Yeah.
And when I heard you say like, oh, sometimes you're talking about how sometimes we seek other people to vent and, you know, get advice from.
Yeah.
So, yes, you call me sometimes the same way I call you. And then you said, yeah, but sometimes when I talk to my sister, like, she stresses me out. So to explain that a little further, I've always been the kind of person that I'll hear you out. And I'll give you my point of view. And sometimes I feel that that's not what you want to hear sometimes. And that's okay, right? But as a sister, because I love you, I have to tell you, like, hey, dude, like, this is wrong or this is cool. And I feel like an obligation, because I am a little older, to just be very straight up.
Yeah.
Because I want you to do the right thing.
Yeah. And the whole context, I guess one of the reasons to even bring it up right now, it's really more of the sense, like, it's not the fact that like you said something negatively to stress me out. It's just you mentioned something at a moment where either me, because of my anger, I don't want to do it at that time. So it stresses me out more or whatever. But regardless, I just value the approach of picking up the phone, having a conversation as awkward as it can be, but at least we get somewhere. Because I believe there's no topic in this world we can not talk. Like, as long as two people are willing and open, you can talk about almost anything.
And besides that, we also have the maturity, I think, in our relationship now, where you can tell me, or I can ask you, hey, did you mean it this way or did you mean it that way? Because we're human beings. So I feel like, again, I've learned from it. Even when I heard the comment, it made me reflect on myself. Like, hey, well, maybe he just wants to have me hear him out when he reaches out. And maybe sometimes I need to just be more gentle with my communication in terms of delivering, you know, certain advice. So it's vice versa. It helps, you know, just grow.
Yeah. I mean, I love it. I love the fact that it can be something for you to grow in as well and something for me to grow in as well. However, I would like to have you take a moment right now and kind of introduce yourself, like, you know, say who you are, your background, where you came from. And yeah, like kind of give people a little bit of who you are, who Yvette is.
Well, I guess it's kind of hard to answer because I'm not used to kind of explaining who I am. But so I'm Mike's sister. I'm the middle child. We come from a single family household because our parents divorced.
How old were you when our parents separated?
I think I was 13 when they divorced.
Yeah, because I was 11.
So I'm a mom. I'm a daughter. I'm a sister. I'm a tia and a nina, which I enjoy. But I'm also a full-time government employee. I am a senior paralegal for a government agency.
I don't even know what that means, but I know that's...
No, I mean, you would want the position to be, you know, a good paying position. But overall, it's a blessing to have a government job.
Yeah.
So I'm bilingual. I'm single. Just kidding.
And ready to mingle. I actually told her before the podcast began, and she brought it up herself. She brought it up herself. She's like, you don't have to do it, but she brought it up herself in the sense of like, fellas, I got to screen your resume first, though.
I'm just kidding.
Yes, we are taking applications.
I did have to throw that in there because he had made a comment previously. But so that's a little bit about me. So I'm, you know, a hardworking mom that's just trying to survive in this busy world.
Yeah, yeah. And I know, sister, what it feels like to, when someone tells you, describe a little bit about yourself. Like, I know it's hard because in season one, when I did the introduction of the Mac Effect, I did that. And I found myself in a position like, man, it's kind of challenging to say, look, what's so important about you or your background? But like right now, we grew up in Compton. You went to the same school districts as me, which is we went to Paramount, Los Cerritos Elementary, which is K-8. And then we moved up to Paramount High. Mm-hmm. What year, Paramount?
So I graduated class of 2002.
Shout out class of 2002.
And, you know, I went to Cerritos.
Oh, which reminds me, my sister was homecoming queen of 2002. So she has that on her resume, too.
Yes, I do. I was homecoming queen for my class,
which is pretty awesome.
Surprising because part of what I would do after school was not school activities or sports. I had to go across the street to work at a Baskin Robbins. Because when our parents divorced, it was my way of kind of paying for my own expenses. Mm. So I started working as a sophomore in high school after school. And it was surprising to me that I even made it as a homecoming queen, to be honest with you. Mm. But it was fun. It was fun times.
Did you feel the pressure when our parents separated? You felt the pressure like you had to like start paying for yourself?
Not necessarily pressure, but obviously my mom divorced and she didn't have a job. I don't know if you remember because we've talked about it sometimes and I feel like you and I had different views and perspectives on how everything went down. But I was the one that would go to like the legal help centers at the courthouse with my mom. So I don't know if you even know this, but I actually became a paralegal. Because I saw how hard it was for my mom to get legal help or support at a low, you know, income. She, at that time, actually, she didn't have a job when she divorced.
Yeah.
So it wasn't necessarily pressure. It was more like I wanted to purchase certain things like that we didn't have money yeah. to buy, like my senior expenses.
Yeah.
And so I started working at Baskin Robbins, which was so much fun because obviously I would see people from school and eat ice cream all day long.
All the time, ice cream. I remember those days. But at the
same time, it was my way of saying, okay, I'm going to just take some of the responsibility that my mom had.
Yeah.
Because she was working night shifts at a temp-like position.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember.
I remember she was in an agency. Well, now I know it was an agency. Back then, I didn't understand she was in an agency. Like right now, what you're explaining as far as, you know, working at Baskin Robbins, I remember those days. I remember my cousin Alonzo and me, we would love the fact that we would be able to buy like the, what were they called? The tubs, the quarts, or what are they called?
Yeah, the quarts.
They were 2 for $5. Bye-bye to
2 for $5 anymore.
bye-bye to that price. That does not exist anymore. But my cousin Alonzo would buy like 4, 6 of them, and he would take them home, and he's like, I love this. I love that Yvette work. Like, él se las ponía de nieve, dude. It was crazy.
Yo también. Comíamos nieve en la mañana, en el almuerzo, y en la noche.
Yeah,
and we would trade ice cream with the guys across the way because they were at Little Caesars. So it was fun times.
Yeah, so you guys would slang the ice cream for pizza.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. If I tell you what I used to slang when I worked at Chuck E. Cheese, I mean, sometimes the pizzas, what I would sell on the side, I would make more money than my paycheck. But anyways, but okay. All right, sister. So similar backgrounds, definitely different when it comes to the viewpoints of our parents separating. Mm-hmm. I was kind of more protected. I know for a fact my mom kept things from me. Family kept things from me. Definitely my mom didn't want me to build an image, I guess, against my dad or something like that. But you did share with me a couple times recently, like things that you saw, which I, like, as a brother, I was like, I didn't know you saw those things, but I'm very sorry. But well, the viewers don't know what you saw, so you mind explaining a little bit? You don't have to say everything, but a little bit of things that you saw that I clearly did not.
So things that I saw that I think that you may not remember or have noticed was obviously clearly like the bad divorce, that the battle that my parents faced. I had to attend some of the court hearings, so it was like not the funnest position, right? You see your dad across the way and you're walking in with your mom. I remember, you know, just the unhealthy environment that we grew up in, the constant arrival of police officers at our house because of the chaos that would go on. And again, I never really vocalized this, but I was afraid of cops for a very long time. And again, my passion to become, you know, a paralegal, it was to just help other people that could be facing similar situations, because I saw how hard it was for my mom without a job to find representation, especially at a reasonable amount, you know, dollar amount, because the fees are, you know, super high. So that was one of, so full circle now that I work, you know, with police officers, that I work with, you know, being able to maybe guide someone, because obviously I'm not able to give legal advice, but I am able to say, look, this is what you can do, or help someone, guide someone. Those, you know, unpleasant moments that we did grew up in helped kind of obviously pave the way for the career path that I have now.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Where now I can help other people maybe save themselves from that upbringing, including my daughter.
And at the time that you were going through this with my mom, helping her with the paperwork, going to the court hearings and all these things, I'm well aware that because of the age that we're at, we're not noticing the trauma that these things are causing. Now that you're older and you look back at those things, how did it affect you, or has it affected you?
So, yes, I mean, it affected me because I didn't realize certain traumas. Like you said, now that we're older, we realize certain things. You become a parent and you are like, whoa, like I'm still carrying traumas from my childhood. So one, it made me define my career path. So I pursued a bachelor's in criminal justice and I, you know, sought a master's as well in public administration because I knew that I wanted to beat the odds. One, because we were Hispanic. Two, because we were coming from a divorced family. Like the percentage of people pursuing higher education was also, that was against us. And I just wanted to do something different. But then full circle, even in your dating life, you don't realize that you are selecting or gravitating to people that have similar characteristics of what you grew up with. And so now that I'm a mom, now that I've, you know, dated, I realize that, yes, your childhood environment molds ideas and perspectives that you grow up with, and if you don't seek help, you continue the generational pattern.
So you're growing up, you obviously don't know you're going through these traumas. You hit a key point where you mentioned you kind of self-conscious start picking men that are similar to the way your dad treated your mom, because that's what was displayed, and you tend to do what's displayed because that's what you are taught and what you are shown. Where would you meet these guys?
So again, I was not a, like, I've never been a crazy kind of girl. Like I would go out dancing. It would be even people from high school. Yo no fui muy noviera. But obviously you would, I would run into people everywhere. Like, you know, at the
while you're working theaters, at Baskin Robbins.
At the movie theaters, people that you know from school. I would obviously go to certain sporting events.
Well, I mean, at some point, you have to be popular to win Homecoming Queen, too.
Well, I don't want to say necessarily popular, but I feel like I've always had a personality that I get along well with people. So I feel like I've always gravitated to just being friendly. And that helped. But I would run into, you know, people from the same cities. The city was small, like the high school that we went to was small, so we knew a lot of people. And everyone kind of knew each other. So again, no fui muy noviera. Pero without us realizing, the people that you would meet would have some characteristics of the traumas that you were growing up from.
And the reason why I'm asking like generic questions, and I'd rather have you give me your input, because I don't want to influence your answers. And I want people to see, like, even things that I've answered in the past. Like, when I say, like, my testimony, I don't think my testimony is that crazy. Like, I wasn't doing drugs. I wasn't doing, never been addicted to alcohol or wanting to drink. Like, party scene has never been me. Clearly, it's never been you either. That's kind of like the household that we grew up in. So, I'm not making these facts up. You're not making them up. I'm not putting words in your mouth, right? So, people can just genuinely see who we are and what we're about. So okay, so then did you feel at a certain point, now looking back, because I believe when you're growing up you don't realize these things. I don't realize the mistakes I've done in my past, but now that I've grown up, I do you see an area where you're like, man, if I would have only had a father that was a little bit more present, this could have been avoided?
I mean, it's tough to say, because going through the motions of like just, you know, living life in the environment that we grew up in, it was never a thought, to be honest with you. I didn't know any better. That's all I knew. What we were growing up in was the only world I knew. It wasn't until I became a mom that those thoughts came through my mind. The moment I knew and found out I was pregnant was the moment that, like, reality just hit me. It was something unexplainable, but I knew that I needed to do the best that I could so that the upbringing that I had, which wasn't horrible, But yes, I do understand that if our parents may have thought different or would have sought some kind of, you know, professional assistance or counseling, things would have been better.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
But again, I have realized and accepted that they did the best they could with the resources that they had.
Yeah.
And I can't ding them for that or blame them for it. But now that you also mentioned that, it comes to mind that when our parents divorced, and I don't know if you remember, I actually went to the school counselor and I had them provide both of us services. Do you remember going to therapy during Los Cerritos times?
No, I don't.
So I remember that my mom used to always say, like, ay, esta chiquilla fue a pedir ayuda. But because I knew that emotionally it was not sitting well with me.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, at a young age, but okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so I've always been that kind of gravitated to wanting to get help to process my emotion.
Being aware, that's good.
So I do remember that back then, but it never crossed my mind to think like if my dad knew better or if my mom knew better, because I was just going through the motions of life.
Yeah. Yeah. I have in my healing journey, there's moments where I get mad at my mom and my dad and I'm like, you guys could have saved so much trouble in my life if you guys would have just guided me better or been there for me. But it's through the healing process. But right now that you mentioned, you know, you seek counseling. I don't remember going to counseling, to be honest with you. But I do want to share with you guys. I've shared it in the Cheekies podcast. I've shared it when I did our story with Jackie. My sister Yvette is the one that introduced me to Tanya. And then eventually that's when I met Rudy as well, because that's Tanya's husband. And they have been the counselors that have completely changed my life, and those are the people that I constantly refer to you guys as well, to feel free to reach out and contact them, because these are people that can definitely help in the healing process that we desperately need and we don't even know that we need it. Mm-hmm. So it's crazy, man, because they'll start asking you questions and I've been discovering things. So counseling is very important, and thank you, sister, that, you know, God has used you in that way, you know, in the sense of, since you were little, you were already looking for it and we needed it.
No, definitely. I mean, I guess there was something in me since I was younger that we needed to heal. There was something, a desire in me in regards to healing from obviously where we grew up. But going back to your comment about Tanya, I also have done a process with working with Tanya and Breath of Life. You know, again, every time that I talk to Tanya or every time that I talk to a friend or a family member that tells me about certain things and I can't really do much for them, but listen, I always say, call Breath of Life, call Breath of Life, talk to Tanya. And it's not a joke. Like, I literally feel that ever since I did my process with working with Tanya and just focus on my healing.
Yeah.
My life has kind of turned around to a whole different light.
Well, Tanya says it all the time. When you get better, the things around you also get better. Like, I remember, you know, my kids making a mess or hitting the car or scratching the car would, like, make me blow up. Mm-hmm. And because I've gotten a lot better and healed, now I'm just kind of like, okay, they dented it. It is what it is. Like, we either fix it in the future or we don't, but we keep moving forward because at the end of the day, it's just material things.
And if you think about it, Michael, right now that you brought that example, that was how we grew up.
Yeah.
Like, you would dent something, you would spill something, and all hell would be broken.
Yeah.
And now that we have kids and we have done this work, we're able to say, maybe our parents didn't know any better.
Yeah, yeah.
But we have, and we're doing things different. So those things that remind us of our childhood don't trigger us to react in that way.
Yeah. Well, I'm still guilty of getting triggered once in a while. Yes. I'm being honest, but it's not as bad as what it used to be. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't trigger me as bad as what it used to. I always say, I reference my first marriage. That's like when me and Jackie, before we got separated, that's when I was like at my worst. But through counseling and healing, I'm not like that anymore, thank God. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now you're growing up, you're moving along. You obviously eventually find a boy because we have Abby here. which is a huge blessing, by the way. Thank you for Abby.
Thank you for thinking she's a blessing, because she has blessed my life tremendously.
Absolutely, absolutely. So who, you don't have to say his name, but where did this boy come from? I was young at that time, so I had no idea, like, when it came to the dating scene, like, I was still just worried about playing basketball and just having fun. I really didn't care what you guys were doing. So where did this guy come about, and what happened there?
So my daughter's 7 now, but going back to, like, my dating history or my dating life era, so I met Abby's dad almost, what, 20 years ago? Now it's been more than 20 years, I think. I was a freshman in high school. Okay. Again, we all went to the same school. Very smart guy, was going to, you know, community college, very hardworking, similar background, you know, single parent, just working, trying to do the best that they can, with a lot of potential. We had met through mutual friends. We had seen each other at the movie theater, Full Circle, a year later. Like, we kind of exchanged pager numbers.
Because at that time, pagers were the thing. You're right. I remember.
And, you know, again, I was not the kind of girl that was dating a lot. So he was very persistent and would, you know, kind of continuously call me and call me. And at first I wasn't really interested, but it kind of grew on me. Because I saw that he had a good heart and he was a good person. So that's kind of how it happened. And then obviously we, you know, kind of dated for more than a decade. And then that's
when off and on or consistent?
So it was a lot. There was at the beginning, there was a little bit of off and on. And I'm sure, like, he'll have a different perspective of the story. But in my way.
He could come on and talk to, he can say his part one day.
So for me, it was like, at first it was kind of off and on because we were just kind of dating. It was not like he was my boyfriend at the time. But then about maybe 8 years, it was a consistent relationship. It was long distance. And then that's when Abby came into the picture.
Yeah.
And, you know, God blessed me with a daughter through this relationship, although the relationship didn't work out, because I do understand that people are different. And I'm obviously not the person that I was when I was in that relationship.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Looking back, obviously I could have handled things in many different ways.
Me too, sister. I could look back at my old self and say I could have changed it, but that's our story.
And so when I found out I was pregnant, you know, everything was very exciting for me because it wasn't an accident necessarily. Obviously, I didn't do things correctly. I wasn't, like, married, you know, which I would have wanted to do things correctly according to what God wants for us. But it was what it was. I accepted the situation that I, you know, obviously my actions led me to. And 5 months through my pregnancy, I decided that I just couldn't be in that relationship. Wow. I wasn't being abused verbally or anything. He always was very respectful, but there was just things in terms of how the relationship was going that I knew that I loved this person, but I couldn't continue on knowing that I had a little girl coming. And that put a lot of, like, pressure on me because I felt like everything I did from that moment forward was going to mold this little girl. And I knew that I didn't want that little girl to carry things that I had carried. And so I knew that I just had to walk away, even though obviously I still loved this person.
Yeah. What was he doing that was causing red flags for you to say, oh yeah, this is something that I have to eventually start considering to leave?
So when I decided to even consider having a child with him, obviously it's because you love the person and you saw potential in the relationship. So right. My idea was to be like in a team player environment where you feel that you're supported, you're heard, you're considered. I just started feeling like I wasn't priority. When I needed him to kind of come through, he wouldn't.
And you were doing that for him.
I felt I was. I'm sure he could probably say something otherwise, but I feel like if one thing he knows is that I did care and I gave my 100% when I was in the relationship, and that I always tried to, you know, be a team player. Yeah. And that's what I wanted in return. And I just felt like I wasn't being valued. So I said, I can't do this. I have to show my daughter that she deserves so much more.
Yeah. And from the outside looking in, that's when I was getting older. That's when I was now kind of realizing, oh, this is what life is about. Sister, you were definitely doing above and beyond. I don't want to get too much into details unless you want to. I'm just going to share very briefly, but you set up like a house in TJ. You would drive down there every weekend, pregnant. You would make those two-hour drives back, and sometimes even more drive. Like, you did more than enough than what a girl should do. Similar to what Jackie has done in my life. Like, she's done way more than enough. Like, she doesn't have to be a support or this much supportive of me. Or maybe that's a world, really, because at the end of the day, I guess maybe it's not so much whether if it's a woman doing it to a man or a man doing it to a woman when it comes to supporting. It's whatever works for that relationship, right? So from the outside looking in, you were definitely doing your part, sister. I saw you were. And not saying he wasn't. All I'm saying is I know you were.
No, and thank you for that, because obviously you were a support to me during that process. I personally, out of respect to my daughter and my therapy process, I've learned that I keep things to a minimal in terms of details of why things didn't work out, because they're irrelevant at this point.
Yeah.
I feel no regret. I feel that I was genuine in the relationship. I was very honest to myself. And I just faced it, you know, head on, and I gave my all and my heart, and things happen. Life happens. Yep. People sometimes are just not compatible. That's what I walk away with. I have no regret anymore. I have no, you know, bitter feelings. I'm actually very thankful with Abby's dad for blessing me with the most beautiful gift that God has ever sent me. Because it was through my daughter that I was able to heal a lot of traumas that I was still carrying. Mm-hmm. It was through my daughter that I was able to just love myself again. Because I knew that my daughter deserved better. And I feel that every chapter has a purpose. I learned so much.
I agree. Yeah.
And I don't regret any of it, because it made me who I am today.
I believe you wouldn't even enter that process without Abby. Mm-hmm. And Abby is what God sent to kind of like slap you into reality and be like, hey, we need to heal. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome.
Definitely.
Now that you are pretty much a single mother raising a child, especially in the times that we're in right now where inflation is ridiculous, to other single mothers out there, because you get no help, sister. You're doing it all on your own. Now, you do get help from mom and from me, but it's not like a fatherly help the way someone should be helping. How do you do it?
Well, it's by God's grace, honestly, because we are functioning because God gives us the strength to keep pushing through, right? Being a single mom is not that bad. Like, it has, you know, positive, although you deal with obviously certain, you know, challenges, right? How do I do it? Well, my kid is my motivation. I have to get up every day. And I get emotional because she's always been kind of like my weak spot, you know? I know it sounds cliche, maybe. But it's the truth. It's like, how do I put into words that I love this little person so much?
Yeah.
You know? I just try to do the best that I can. And I wake up every day wanting to do better for her, wanting to hold myself accountable for her. like you said, I'm thankful with you and Jackie, because if I need help, you guys are there. You know that it's hard for me to ask for help sometimes, mm-hmm. but you still are persistent in lending a hand. My mom obviously is, you know, the biggest person that helps me with pickups and drops off at school, so I depend on her a lot. But I just take things day by day. And when I say it's not that bad, it's because I feel like a lot of women torture themselves thinking like, I can't do this, but we can. It's up to us to just remain, you know, thankful. And I've had episodes where obviously I had felt so overwhelmed, so broken, especially at the beginning of the breakup when, you know, your baby's here and you're still processing like your hormone imbalance and then you're dealing with the breakup, but yet you can't really deal with the mourning of the loss of the relationship because you have to be a mom, like yeah. you have to go on mommy mode.
Yeah.
So that part, I think, is challenging, but just having grace with yourself, like, we're human beings, and we're gonna have good days and bad days, but definitely my faith has kept me strong.
That was gonna be my next question.
Yeah, like, my faith has kept me strong in remaining thankful.
Yeah, yeah. So my question was gonna be, what gives you the strength, and you just hit it with faith. When do you feel that, before, because we're pretty much getting ready to conclude, but when did you feel that faith was like a active thing in your life?
So honestly, it's always been a motivating factor and moving factor in my life. People could say like, well, you're a single mom, like you weren't going according to what the word says, right? Yes, but even in that decision and in that time frame and in any time frame, God has been with me.
Yeah.
So I feel that now my faith has matured and grown to where it's more prominent in my life. Like I'm, you know, obviously consistently going to church and being more accountable, holding myself more accountable. But God doesn't love me any less because I'm a single mom.
Yeah, no, absolutely
I'm not less of a person because I'm a single mom. I didn't sign up to be a single mom. Yeah. This was just the way my story went. And no one's to blame. It's just sometimes things don't work out the way we want them to.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think if we just route ourselves back to trusting God in the process, even in our broken pieces, because that's how I felt. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. I felt, for the first time in my life, broken. I felt like I had failed because now, like, I wanted to give my daughter, right, like a two-parent household. I wanted her to not have these questions that she has sometimes, because she'll ask me now. She's 7. You can't hide certain things, but now I've learned with Tanya's help that I just have to be honest with her in a gentle way. I have to just accept that this is our story.
This is good.
And it's not something bad. I've learned to forgive, you know, the past and the issues that have gone on. I have risen above all of my ego, because your ego is involved as well, right? You question yourself as a woman sometimes, but all of that has been through the grace of God and the healing process that I've had to go through. Mm-hmm. And now I could say that single motherhood is not that bad.
Yeah. Sister, you said such a handful right there that I promise you there's someone out there listening. There's a mother out there listening and saying, damn. Like, you just shared a bunch of key nuggets, a bunch.
And that's my intention, honestly. Like, I feel like I'm a talker, but my intention is honestly to tell single moms or even people that are going through divorce. Obviously, you know, if you're able to get help and fix the issues, great. But life doesn't always work that way. And in my case, it wasn't the case. Honestly, like Abby's dad to me, like I will always care for him. I wish him the best. And I know he does, you know, as well. Now our relationship is very civil. At first, it probably wasn't, because you're full of emotions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But because I love my daughter so much and I want her to grow up indifferent, it's up to us to take accountability and just do better so that our kids don't pay for those consequences, like you mentioned at the beginning, so that our kids don't pay, you know, with the consequences of our past. Yep. Or how we parent them.
Yep. I've shared something similar to that in season one. Mm-hmm. If you guys haven't got a chance to check out the previous episodes, go back, check them out. They're really great because I talked about generational chains. Mm-hmm. That I would rather pay the price myself because I don't want them to pay it. Mm-hmm. So that's what you're doing right now, is you're paying the price so that Abby doesn't have to pay it. Mm-hmm. Just good.
I mean, really good. That's what I hope to and pray for every day, you know, that I do the best that I can. And obviously I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
We all make mistakes, and parenthood is not easy. Like, there's no book that tells you do it this way or do it that way.
Especially in the world that we live in right now, man. Mm-hmm. We just got to continue being on top of them, praying over them, and at some point pushing them and letting them do their life, but trusting that God did.
But surrounding yourself, you know what? And again, I don't want to sound, you know, like repetitive, but I'm thankful, Michael, because I could come to you or Jackie. I could come to you guys and say, hey, look, this is kind of what I'm facing as a mom. What do you guys suggest? Like, having people in your, like when they say it takes a village, it does take a village.
Yeah.
It takes a village of people that are healing, that are trying to be holding themselves accountable and just learning from one another to navigate, you know, parenthood, whether it's a single mom or a two-parent household.
Agree. Yeah, that's good. Sister, we're going to change this name to the Betty Effect, the Nina Betty Effect, man. You got it going on. Okay. Now, out of my curiosity, when did you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Like, how old were you and when did that happen?
I want to say...
That's my curiosity.
You know what? I can't remember because it's been so long. Like,
were you young? Were you older?
I think I want to say like I was like 7 maybe.
Okay.
Because we were going to like a church in Compton. But it's been so long. Like, I don't have like a specific date.
And you feel when you were 7 and you made that decision, you just continue to live your life with him in your heart and stuff? Like, the reason why I say it, sister, because like me, yo me bauticé in the church right there with my mom. But I really didn't start walking with Jesus until like 19.
So I feel like we always grew up in like the
Christian. We did. We were in church all the time. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And God always kind of was present in my life and in my living process. Obviously, we're young and we don't go by what God wants from us. So I feel like, yes, I was 7. It was a long, long time ago. But obviously, in my walk with God, I detoured because I wanted to explore, you know, certain things as a normal young person would. Mm-hmm. But I never was reckless. So, like, again, yo también, I wasn't a drinker. I would, you know, sometimes, you know, go out and dance. That was like the biggest thing for me, right? Like, yeah. Yo quería salir a bailar con las muchachas. But I just feel like God has always been present in my life.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. All right. Well, that's cool. That, again, it was just for my curiosity. So for right now, I'm going to take a quick pause. I have a little special guest that's going to come right now. So we're going to take a quick time out. And we'll be back right now. All right, guys, we come back from the timeout, and we have a special guest. What's your name, little girl?
Abby.
Full name. What's your full name?
Abigail.
Abigail Campos.
Say your full name, Mama.
Abigail Ivanez Campos.
Ivanez Campos. All right. Thank you for being on the Mac Effect with me.
You're welcome.
And I love the fact that you helped me with the introduction of the Mac Effect. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I have a couple questions for you, Abigail, but before I ask the questions, mommy and me, we were talking and we were saying how you are a huge blessing in our lives, how mommy and me love you so much. I'm so grateful for your life, Abby. JJ loves you a lot. Jordan loves you a lot. Genevieve, Jayla. Like, there's certain things we see at the store, especially if it's Stitch right now, and we're like, this is for Abby. And we know it's something for you. So I want you to know that you are very beautiful and you are very special. You know that? Okay, good. So, mommy was saying how you are a very important piece in her life, that mommy needs you because you make her better. So my first quick question is, how does that make you feel knowing that your mom says that she loves you and that you make her life better?
I would also say the same about her, because she's love, caring. She takes care of me the way she takes care of me.
Yeah. What is something that you see your mom do? And if you need help, you can ask me for help or ask mommy too. But what is something that you see your mom do that you're like, man, I'm so glad I have a mom that does that?
When I really want to go somewhere, or we're trying to plan somewhere that I really want to go, she would plan it or wait until we have time. Like if she goes to work, we plan a day where she's off.
Nice. That's beautiful. I love the fact that, you know, she'll plan things and make things happen for you. That's good. And what is something that you're proud of your mom?
That she's very love, caring, helps me whenever I need it.
I love that.
Yeah, she helps me with homework when I need help with a really hard question.
Mommy helps you with a lot of stuff, right? Like homework or even other things that you might not even understand, like she'll explain to you. That's good. That's good. Sister, you have Abby right here in front of you. What would be something that you can tell Abby that you're proud of her for, or proud of her?
I'm sorry, I just get emotional. I think I say it often to Abby, because again, I didn't grow up with, like, you know, certain words of affirmation. So I tend to tell her often, but I will repeat it again. I'm proud of her because she is a loving and a kind person. I see how she tries to show love to everyone around her. She works hard at her school. She's consistently meeting goals at school. And although she's 7, I see how she's dedicated and how she does the best that she can with all that, you know, is given to her at school and even at home. I just want to thank her because she does shine and brighten up my life. She's very smart. She's very silly. But overall, she is, you know, the biggest blessing God has sent me. And just for Mother's Day, the teacher gave her an assignment where she had to write a message on, you know, a piece of paper for the mom. And she put, "Mom, I love you." And then she put, "Mom, you're blessed with me." So I thought that was just, again.
Well, I believe those are very beautiful words that your mom was sharing with you. I want to give you an opportunity. Do you have any questions? Do you have something you want to ask me or ask mommy? Is there anything you want to say? What do you want to say?
I want to say that you guys are really kind to me, You guys are a part of my family. I love you guys. You guys do a lot for me. And
you love us? Yeah. We love you too.
You guys care for me.
We do. We do love you, Abby. So, so much. Is there some friends at school that you want to say hi to? Say hi to them. Who? Say their names.
Hi, Leah.
Anyone else? All right. Well, do me a favor, Abby. Help me to close the episode. Tell everyone thank you for watching The Mac Effect.
Thank you for watching The Mac Effect. See you next time.
Subscribe.
Subscribe, like, comment.
Like, comment, share.
Share.
And?
Follow.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it. Again, I hope my sister and I showed you guys some type of vulnerability there. If you guys have questions, comments, concerns, send those questions our way. More than happy to send them to my sister so that we can reach out and help you guys out as well. But we continue to grow. We continue to try to get better every day, guys. That's pretty much our goal here. So with that being said, Mac Effect
is closed.
Is closed out. Peace.